And before 2020 comes to an end, it is a good idea for Canadians to review their finances. It's a chance to take advantage of any programs or tax strategies that cease on December 31st. And here to discuss his end-of-year financial checklist is Mark Ting, our guide to personal finance and a partner with Foundation Wealth. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon.
So what is on the top of your year-end checklist?
I thought I'd talk about Registered Education Savings Plans, or RESPs. So this is for parents of children who are turning 17 and 20, or who turned 17 in 2020. And if they were planning on contributing to their RESPs, this is the last year that they qualify for the government grants. So they will need to make those contributions as soon as possible. Also close to the top is tax-free savings accounts. This is something that I did just recently. I completely emptied mine. And it's not because I was planning a big Christmas shopping spree, but because I had actually some major commitments, financial commitments in January. So if you're in that sort of situation like me, where you got some big bills due in early 2021 and you need the funds from your TFSA to pay for them, it's often better to take the money out in 2020 if the bills are due in the first couple months of 2021.
Okay. Can you talk about that a little bit more, Mark? Why wouldn't somebody just take out money from their TFSA when they need it?
It has to do with the annual TFSA contribution room, and that's a limit that gets reset on January 1st of each year. So let's say someone's going to make a big purchase. Let's say they're going to buy a nice car in January, and they had $70,000 in their TFSA, and that's the price of the car. So by taking the $70,000 out of their TFSA in December of this year, that amount will be added to their 2021 TFSA contribution limit. So assuming that this person had maxed out their TFSA, their new 2021 TFSA limit would be $76,000. So that'd be the $70,000 they took out plus a new allotment of $6,000. Whereas if they just waited until they needed it, which was in January of 2021, that person's limit would only be $6,000. Now, if you take this one step further, let's say this person bought their car, they're happy, and then all of a sudden they got lucky, they got a bonus or a big inheritance in, we'll say, February of 2021, having that $76,000 worth of TFSA contribution room compared to the $6,000 would come in very useful and would result in some big tax savings.
Okay. Now, what about charitable giving? Is end of the year the best time to do it? I certainly know I've been getting a lot of notices about asking for those donations.
It's when a lot of people do it, but it's not necessarily the best time. I mean, you can make donations anytime. But from a tax perspective, let's talk about donations. Now, they are eligible for tax credits. So if you wanted to take advantage of these tax credits in 2020 for the 2020 tax year, then you would have to make those contributions, those donations before the year ends. And the other thing to think about is the contributions themselves, because they can be done in many ways. And one of the most efficient from a tax perspective way to donate is to actually donate stocks if you have them. Stocks where they might have gone up a lot and there's a large embedded capital gains, is often better to donate those stocks to the charities instead of cash. And the reason is because as a donor, if you're a donor and you donate those stocks, you don't have to pay capital gains tax on those donated stocks because it's actually the charity that sells them. But since registered charities are exempt from capital gains tax, they don't pay either. So it's basically a win-win. The donor saves on tax, and the charity often gets a larger contribution.
Okay, so what's next on the checklist, Mark?
I actually like to do an inventory of all my financial assets over the year, and now is a good time as any to do it. And it's often more important to do this when we've had a very volatile year, like investment-wise, like we just experienced. So I make a list of my assets, liabilities. I write down where everything is held. I also make a list of all my investment contacts. So people like my banker, advisors, my business partners, my insurance people, et cetera, anybody who has to do with finance. And I do this not so much for myself, but for my family, just in case something happens to me. I basically want to make it easy for my wife to find and access everything that she needs. So a lot of wealth has been lost because people pass away and they haven't written anything down. They haven't told their loved ones their codes or their passwords. and they can't find it. And you hear a lot of stories about this, like where billions are lost, particularly in the with the new cryptocurrency thing, where they don't got the crypto password, and you know there's many bitcoins and they're gone forever.
Yeah, there's certainly been a lot of coverage on that. Now, is it that safe to write down all of your passwords and secret account numbers?
Yeah, I mean that's a tough one, but you know, technology helps. So I'm comfortable with the technology. I use a company called LastPass, and it holds all my codes and all my passwords. And all I really have to do is remember one big, long, and very secure LastPass password. This program is essentially the gatekeeper to all my personal info. However, a lot of people don't trust that, so they don't have to really. I mean, all you have to do is do it the old-fashioned way: grab a pen and paper or type it out. And keep a list of all these people, all your lists, your assets, liabilities, and everything, and just keep it in your safety deposit box, take it out once a year, and update it. Like, my feeling is the real risk is not doing the regular updates. And that's where I see all the time, mostly in my business. I'll see like a spouse who has control of the family finances. That person dies and leaves a surviving spouse to sort everything out. And it gets messy, stressful, and there's often delays. So they could have just planned ahead. They could have provided essentially what is a financial roadmap. And that's what I'm suggesting people do. That's what I'm doing. I'm leaving my family an updated roadmap of our financial lives, as well as a list of the trusted advisors who they'll likely have to turn to for help. To me, it's just the considerate thing to do.
Yeah, I know. My dad did that, and I was very thankful. And even then, it was exactly. Still really difficult to sort out. Now, in doing that year-end inventory, does that include updating your wills and your power of attorney?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most Canadians still do not have wills or power of attorneys. So if you don't, you know, go out there, get one. No need to wait till the next pandemic. And if you do have one, that's awesome. But you need to review it and update it, you know, periodically. So the other thing I'm telling people to do with this checklist is also be considering the budgeting for the upcoming expenses in 2021. And the one thing I'm kind of worried about is, you know, taxes. I'm always worried about taxes, but particularly the taxes on from people who receive CERB payments. Now, the CERB income is taxable, so that means there's a bill coming in 2021. So if you receive CERB, and now hopefully you're back at work, you're probably going to have to prepare for it. So now's the time to set aside some money for those taxes, or, you know, if it makes sense and you have the funds, you can always reduce your tax burden by getting some RSPs. RSPs are not ending at the end of the year, so you still have time. There's RSP season still runs until the end of February, so that's something to be thinking about.
Well, thanks so much, Mark.